Amen and good morning again, everyone. Give me a parking lot amen, as you can hear. Wonderful. Wonderful. This is admittedly a little bit of a strange way of doing things, is it not? And I love it. It is amazing. What a blessing to be able to do what we're doing as we figure things out week by week. For those of you who are online, welcome here. I'm so thankful that we have this technology that we can do this, what we're doing here. It is such a blessing. It is such an adventure. And wow, what memories we have here. Since Eric and Kara had their baby yesterday, we had said in the past that as we were doing sermon series, Eric in the book of Luke and me in the Minor Prophets, that from time to time we would do a one-off and maybe look at an individual proverb. And now this opportunity has come up here. We're going to do just that. We're going to look at an individual proverb this morning. The proverb we're going to look at is Proverbs 13, verse 20. It reads this: whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Our Father, we ask that you would open your word up to us now, that we may hear it, that your Spirit would quicken it in our hearts and in our minds, that we may embrace it in its truth and walk joyfully by its light. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is actually an incredibly challenging proverb. And you wouldn't think so. It seems innocent enough, not to mention rather obvious, on the face of it. Being around wise people will increase your own wisdom, and hanging out with fools will increase your own foolishness. That's not hard to understand. We can read a verse like this, and we can look at one another and nod gravely and say, amen. That's good wisdom right there. And it is good wisdom. But it is also true that this verse is far more challenging than it appears at first glance. And you will find that to be true, I'm guessing, about 10 minutes from now. The Word of God is powerful, and it is sharp enough to get into places in our hearts that we wouldn't always want to have visitors. So you've heard of the phrase, the elephant in the room. It refers to some obvious thing that everyone is thinking about, but would rather not talk about. It is easier to ignore it than it is to talk about it because it's rather uncomfortable. The elephant in the room is whatever big, not to mention dangerous, topic is on our minds that we would rather turn away from than deal with. And the problem with that is that it's usually a bad idea. It may certainly be true that it is not always best to talk about the elephant in the room at all times. But certainly if there is one in the room, it ought to be acknowledged, and actually acknowledged fairly often. You might get stepped on. So it needs to be talked about, even if it can be uncomfortable, even if it can be offensive. So let's do that this morning. Today I want to challenge and perhaps even change the way that you think. I want to try with all my heart to convince you to see things in a certain way and then to act accordingly. It is my hope that you leave here changed and that we as a church are united in that change. It is admittedly a very big hope, but it needs to be. After all, it needs to be bigger than an elephant if it's going to be effective. So we are told here that it is good to walk with wise people, that we ourselves will become wise if we surround ourselves with and listen to people with wisdom. So far, so good. But the question comes, how do we find wise people to hang around with? How do you know whom to trust? Who is the wise person, and how will I know when I have found someone with wisdom to share with me? Presumably, it may be hard to know who to trust. Because if I am looking for wisdom, that means I am currently in need of it. I don't have it. But somehow I need to be able to know who to look to, who to trust. Now, this is actually a crucial concern in every person's life. Who are you going to look to for wisdom? We can't look past that question. It is massively important. We have to look to someone. Proverbs 18 verse 1 tells us, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Isolation and trusting only in yourself is a sure path to failure. Making yourself the bottom line of wisdom is foolish. We are designed to need one another, and sitting in isolation, trusting only in yourself, is not good. It is easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we are the exception, that I actually do know best, that I know best, and I don't have to listen to what other people say. The Bible says that the person who thinks that is wrong. You will not succeed if you don't have wise people speaking into your life. It's as simple as that. And we need to find and walk with people of wisdom. So how do we do that? Thankfully, the Bible gives us the answer here as well. Also from the book of Proverbs, 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So who is the wise man? Who is the one who has wisdom? The one that you should be turning your ear toward to listen, to learn, to discern. To the one who fears God. There is one path to true wisdom in this world, and that is through the fear of the Lord. Seek for those who tremble at his word and walk in it, those who do not fear man or trial or pain. They may not have a degree or a pedigree, as we learned from the book of Amos last time, but they are more qualified than all the others. Walk with that person and you will learn wisdom. Knowledge is useless if you don't know what to do with it. People are fountains of knowledge. Facts and science, flowcharts and flannel graphs. People have all the knowledge of Google at their fingertips. But so often when they try to put it all together into wisdom, into knowing what to do with those facts, they fail. Why do they fail? They fail because they do not fear God or know how to look at the world through the eyes of one who does fear God. They are not walking with the wise. And the Bible says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So if you do not fear God, the Bible calls you a fool. And if you walk with fools, you will become like them. Now, this truth is put in the scriptures to us not as a suggestion of what might happen, but just the simple brute fact of what will happen. We listen, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. And again, from Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we can say with boldness that those who do not fear God do not have true wisdom. And they will ultimately fail in their attempts at showing the way forward for you. They will. Companion of fools will suffer harm. If your wisdom comes from fools, you too will fail. Your character will be corrupted, and you will reap what you sow. So then we must ask, who is qualified? We're going to look at some options. There are many out there vying for your mind and your heart and your actions. We are inundated with experts that have a mountain of knowledge. that they have no idea what to do with because they cannot see God as being the integral part, the central part of the picture. They remove him from the picture. And foolishness is the guaranteed result. They cannot see God as being the sovereign Lord over that which they speak about so confidently and ultimately foolishly. Listen, in being separated from one another in 2020, such as we are today, separated here by the internet, separated here by windows, and buildings, and cars. But not just here, not just here. We've been separated all this past year in many ways, in our work and in our homes, families and friends. We've been separated from one another. And for each one of us, there has been a gap that has been created in our lives because of this separation. We are not what we were. We don't walk so closely with those whom we love. There has been a gap created in each one of our lives, and during this time, there are those who would seek to fill that gap with their own ideas and their own wisdom. Now, to be fair, these people may have some very good things to say, some good knowledge to share, and even some right conclusions at times. I'm not saying that such people are useless. It's not that. I am saying that we must not put our trust in them in the hopes of those voices leading us to righteousness and to love and good deeds. The kinds of people that do not fear God will lead you away from Christ, not towards him. So has that been 10 minutes? All right, here we go. I am going to identify three voices that are speaking loudly in your ears at this time. And I don't want to dwell on this part or spend a lot of time here. I'm not interested in raising controversies. But these voices need to be identified so that we can take heed. Our verse tells us to walk with the wise becomes wise, but if you walk with the fools, you will suffer harm. There's a warning in that verse as well as a promise of blessing. So we want to get practical. These are voices that demand our attention every day, often for extended periods of time. These are voices that have rushed in to fill the gap that each one of us has had this past year. Each one of these voices has been speaking directly to you, and they are asking you to walk with them. And the question is, should you? We want to walk with the wise. So you'll recognize these voices easily enough. They are, of course, the voices of politicians, of experts, and of celebrities. And by this, I mean those politicians, those experts, those celebrities that do not fear God. They're not believers. We hear from them daily. For many of us, we hear from them far more than we hear from other believers. Many of us spend more time with celebrities than we do with the Word of God. We want to know what they think, don't we? We want to know what the politicians think, or the experts in the white lab coat. Which, of course, to some degree, we should want to know, because there can be real knowledge there. They have a certain amount of expertise that we don't have. But we have been told that that expertise, which is real, that expertise qualifies them to speak with wisdom about how Christians should think and act. We are told that that expertise qualifies them to speak with wisdom about how Christians should think and act. And we need to be careful. There are many that would seek to lead you astray. And with all my heart, I say, do not give your trust or your mind into their hands. We are to respect and obey our political leaders in accordance with God's instruction to us in his word. Let no one tell you otherwise. In accordance with his word. But for those leaders, whether political or celebrity, who do not humble themselves before God, of which there are many, you must not put your trust in them. The ones who do not fear the living God are the very ones who will lead you astray. You will become like them. Putting your trust in the fool who does not fear God is the surest way to become a fool yourself and ultimately rebel against God. These three voices in particular have been some of our closest companions this past year. But they are not the ones who are going to lead you to peace, to hope in Christ, to righteousness, to love for your neighbor, or to wisdom. We are warned that we will become like those whom we walk with, like those we spend time with. You are not the exception. I am not the exception. The plain fact is that I will start to turn my thoughts and my heart in the same direction of those with whom I walk, with those I listen to who have my ear. And believe me, I hear them the same as you. Those voices have called out to me over and again with seductive power, with seeming reasonableness and soothing words. So what do we do? What do we do when we hear them call us and they say, come, walk with me? When they call, we start first by remembering this verse, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. With that weapon of truth fixed firmly in our mind, we then turn to those things that will truly help us, that will truly lead us to wisdom. There are voices that God has given us, powerful tools to guide us into the light. So let's look at them. Who should you be walking with? And I want to give you three voices here as well. Three voices to walk with, to learn wisdom from, and to counter the voices of those who do not fear God. Now let me just repeat, to be clear, I am not saying that those other voices are useless. Some maybe are. But there is knowledge there, important knowledge at times. There is real power and authentic authority in certain areas. And what they say can actually be rather important, but they will not lead you to wisdom. Nor will they tell you how to honor God in your life. You will not hear that from them. They will not tell you how to respond to the circumstances you find yourself in. You will not find godliness or joy from those voices. But from these three you will, and you will recognize these easily enough as well. They are the voices of Scripture, of the church, and of your pastors. Scripture is the voice of God. It is His current word, living and active for you. It is fresh. It is fit for our day. And it needs to be the place where you go to walk with and find wisdom. It reveals the truth about the world. It reveals the truth about yourself. The truth about the heart of man, of sin, and of God's will for you even today. God has given us, through the knowledge of Him, all what we need for a life of godliness. Do you want wisdom to know how to think and to know what to do? It is here in the Word of God that you will find it. In the very Scriptures, walk with the wise to become wise. Scripture will give you the sight to see what all of this means, even what we're doing this morning. What does this mean? Scripture will be the light in which you can understand. It will make sense of the cacophony of voices from the world, all asking you to walk with them and to become as they are. The Word of God is a sure defense against the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is perfect in its precision, and it is perfect in its comprehensive understanding, which is what we are so in desperate need of today. It will make sense, not just of what the world is currently doing to your body physically. It will also make sense of what is currently being done to your soul, which none of those other voices can tell you. Scripture. How about the voice of the church? And by that I mean the actual people that make up this body at Cornerstone. People here in the parking lot, people there at home. Have you heard those voices lately? We need to hear from one another. We need to hear one another sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The Bible says to sing to one another. That means something. It has an effect for wisdom and joy and godliness. It's a means of grace. We need to walk with fellow believers and worship together in the physical presence of one another this morning, notwithstanding we have strange circumstances. And that's okay. But we need to be in the physical presence of one another. We need to take communion together, to pray for one another, to hold hands, to greet one another with a holy kiss. That physical presence matters. I hope we come to understand that more and more as we have been deprived of it this past year. We need to be able to brush the tears off another's face as we deal with suffering in our lives. No one should have to suffer and mourn alone. We need to walk with one another to hear the voice of another believer and to actively pursue the one another's of Scripture. This requires walking together with others in the church, in real life. And we are told that wisdom comes from living a life in Christian community. And I'm talking about your soul. When we abandon these things, our soul is hurt by it. No lab coat is going to tell you that. The lab coat will tell you that if your body is fine, then you are fine. That is not true. If we abandon that voice in our lives, we expose ourselves to sin and temptation. We grow the weaker. God has given us this gift of one another, not just for our joy, although there certainly is that, but for our continued sanctification and holiness, for strength against sin and discouragement. It is a gift, yes. But community is also a weapon. We need to use it. And third, do you hear the voice of your pastors? Those whom God has called and given the authoritative work of shepherding your soul. Do you hear them? And I mean really hear them. Eric, Doug, Cam, Jeff. And this may sound self-serving since I am in the position that I am, but that's not what this is about. Please hear this word. The other elders, they shepherd me as well, and I must regularly submit to them, hear them, and obey them. The Bible tells me to submit to my elders in the church just as it tells me to submit to the government. Do I do that? Here's a personal confession. I find it easier often to obey the government, but hard to obey my spiritual leaders when I disagree. So often I take what is said to me by the one who comes wielding the word of God and tasked with caring for my eternal soul, to take what he says to me as a suggestion that I can really just take or leave as I like. And I tend to act like authority is something that I give to my leaders when I want, not something God has given to them. I remember as a young man standing up at a church meeting here many years ago because I didn't like something, and I made the public recommendation that the entire elder board step down until they had figured things out, and then they could be elders again. And thankfully somebody shut me down immediately, and I was ashamed and angry, and I should have been ashamed, but I had no right to be angry. I was wrong, very wrong. But I often act that way. I act like authority is something I can give to my spiritual leaders when I want to, and not recognize that God has given them authority. And God has given a job description along with that authority. Those men, Eric, Doug, Cam, and Jeff, their job is to care for my soul, to point me to Christ, to pray for me, to fight wolves for me, to suffer for me and my family, to have sleepless nights for me, to lift me up when I fall, to love me in spite of myself, and to walk with me through my valleys. And thus they have done. Do I listen to the men who have taken up this task with joy and with passion and with love and with sacrifice, or do I only listen when I like what they say? Now, they're not perfect, not at all. Neither am I, not by a long shot. But what these men are a gift from God and an authority in my life. Do I see it that way? Do I long to hear that voice in my ear? Do I turn to the one who fears God and is shepherding my soul with the same attention that I would give to others who may not even fear the Lord? The voices that God has given us to hear, Scripture, the church, our pastors, they are means of wisdom and power and godliness in our lives. Those are the main ones we should be walking with and listening to. You learn all you can. You hear the voices that are out there. Some of them have important information. But always know where wisdom can be found. It is found in the fear of the Lord. Surround yourself with people like that, and you will find wisdom to live your life in this generation. We need to examine who it is that we are actually walking with, because we will become like them. And to become like Christ is the goal. And to do that, we must walk with Him. And it's not hard to figure out how. We read His word. We obey it. We pray and we worship. We gather with the saints. We sing. We walk with those who fear God. We wipe the tears from another's eyes. We bear one another's burdens. We encourage one another. Find ways to walk with the wise. That's the path to Christ-likeness, to wisdom, the fear of the Lord. And the more you are like Christ, the more you will understand how to live and how to think. So examine who it is that you regularly walk with this week. To whom do you listen to the most? Whose voice is loudest in your ears? Whoever that is, you are in the process of becoming like them. So what do I want you to think about the elephant in the room with all my heart? About COVID and obedience to the government and how to love your neighbor. I would start here. I want you to think of yourself as a citizen of heaven first, long before you are a citizen of Canada. Canada will rise and fall like all nations do. It's a puff of smoke, a vapor, one day to be a forgotten relic of the past. Steinbeck will come and go. This building will come and go. The church will live forever because Jesus Christ lives forever. The kingdom of God alone will endure throughout all generations, and you are a son or a daughter of the one true King and a citizen of the everlasting kingdom of the Son of God, and He has no rival, neither should our loyalty to Him. In all your interactions with the world, such as it is today, it's difficult. I would have you think of yourself as a citizen of heaven first, loved by God, called out from the world by Him who alone is good, who alone knows the way. For God has given us true instruction on how we are to live, even in a pandemic. And that instruction is all we need to discern our paths as we move forward in our lives, even when there are areas of genuine disagreement. The Word of God shows us how to love one another, how to bear up burdens, how to bear up another's burdens, how to love with those who disagree with you, and it will tell you how to stand against sin, even to the point of suffering. It's all there for us. Citizens of heaven, we have this gift and this power offered to us. I would have us consider ourselves as a citizen of heaven first. We need to hear God's voice above all others and not deceive ourselves about who we are actually listening to. I would have it that we would have that joy, that peace, and the courage that comes from having true wisdom. And the unity of love that binds us together, the unity of love that binds us together, that we don't let voices that do not fear God work their way into our hearts and divide people in the church. We need to hear the voice of God first, because we are a citizen there, we are a citizen eternally, and we have been given weapons of warfare that we do not put down in season or out of season. The word and the sacraments, they are ours. God has sent us to teach and to disciple the nations. We must not stop. We must love one another, wrestle with the day at hand, knowing that God has put us here for this season and for this time. It is ours. And we look to those, to walk with those who have true wisdom, who fear the Lord, to discern our paths. I'm not saying it's easy. But we want to walk with God. Seek first His kingdom above all else at all costs. We need to hear His word to us, to fear Him, and He will make our paths straight. He will be a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. He will be the sword in your hand, the song on your lips, and the courage in your heart. Indeed, He will be the wisdom of our life. And in Him, we will live our lives in unceasing victory as the very gates of hell give way before us to the glory of God. Therefore, do not be afraid of them which kill the body. Do not be afraid of that which kills the body. Rather, fear God. That is the way to wisdom and to life. I'm going to step outside in a moment for communion. You should be able to hear, those of you at home, still hear and see what is going on. For now, let us pray. Our Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for the voices you have given us, for the words you have given us to show the way, what it means to fear you and to love you, to walk in your light and in your path with courage, with joy, with willingness to suffer. Oh Father, we pray that you would guard the unity of this body, that you would grant us unity, though there be discussion, though there not be unanimity, always in how we walk and all that we decide to do. But Father, turn our hearts, each one, to you. May we grow and mature. May we not be afraid to speak of the elephant in the room, but may we do so with love, with a striving towards maturity. Lord, that you would rescue us from our time, and that you would build this church up in strength. Build churches up all across the land, all across the nation and the world. Lord, may your light shine brighter and more fiercely. May you kindle the flame in our hearts, that we as a people would be unafraid and unashamed of where we stand. And with love towards one another, may we stand in the gap. May we reach out to those in need. May we be found faithful in the day of our trial. Even this week, Lord, open up to our hearts and our minds who it is we listen to and who we ought to be listening to, that we may be faithful and that we may truly become wise. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm coming outside for communion. I'll be right there. Church body gathered such as we are, giving witness to our citizenship of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Here is where we stake our claim, as God Himself has claimed us. And as we look around and we see one another here, we affirm both our faith and the faith of those that we partake with. United in Christ we stand. There is one family of God. One faith, one hope, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Let us step into our true identity in Christ and let the world do what it will. Here we stand all for Christ, all together for always. Hear the word. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Dear church, let us remember, let us proclaim. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jordan, if you would lead us in the doxology, please.